Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3. Appreciate the praise team doing a little extra duty. I'm trying not to sing. I still don't have my voice back, but if I don't sing, that's good. You know, when I look for all the different ways to fix this, on every site I went on the internet, rule number one, don't sing. Well, I lead worship at Inspiration Ministries twice a week, and so I have to sing, but it doesn't help. But thank you, praise team. And Jacqueline, good to see you back, and prayed for you, good to see you back. Praise the Lord. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through verse 16. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's pray. Father, now as we Father, I would do that. May we understand what has been written, and may we desire to align our lives with what has been written. For this is your word to us. Make it come to life for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to focus on the Christian life. If you're here this morning or listening online, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you have been saved to live a life pleasing to and glorifying to Almighty God. As we will see this morning, living a Christian life is often compared to running a race, to athletes running a race. And to run well, you have to forget about the last and focus on what you're doing at the moment. Paul said it this way in verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, we looked at different elements of this week on Focus on the Word. I think the one quote that I gave that made me smile and think was from Phil Tuttle from Walk Through the Bible. And he said this, there's a reason a car's windshield is way bigger than its rearview mirror. There's a reason a car's windshield is way bigger than its rearview mirror. Big windshield, little rearview mirror. You know, and as I thought about that, I thought about a practical application to it. What would happen if I were to drive down the street with all of my focus on the rearview mirror to the exclusion of the windshield? Well, I think you know what would happen. It would not end up well. Not only would you not drive that way, you especially want the people coming this way to drive that way as well. But I think the application is easy to make. To successfully journey somewhere in my car, 99% of my attention has out the front windshield. And just an occasional glance or look at the rearview mirror. And I think that's a practical driving tip that fits into what Paul wants to teach us about the Christian life. Now, before we get to the main points, I want to begin at the end of this passage. Look to verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now, as we see, Paul is about to give us some very practical teaching. And he closes his practical teaching with those two verses that I just read. He says, to the mature in Christ, to those who have been walking many years with Jesus, loving him with all your heart and your soul, your mind and your strength, what I just said should resonate with you. And those who are new in the journey, this might seem quite radical. But don't give up. Keep plodding along with Jesus, and eventually you'll understand. And wherever you are on the journey, don't go backwards. Keep on growing. So he ends that passage with that exhortation, but our attention this morning is on what he had taught. Certainly, from Paul to the church of Philippi, and through the years to you and me, an encouragement to every single one of us, life he is describing. Run the race, finish well. Keep your spiritual eyes out the windshield and not on the rearview mirror. So with that introduction, how do we live a life that pleases God? How do we run the race? Five things that we are or we do. Now, I use the pronoun we because we're all included in this. You are, I am, all of us, regardless of how much time you have spent following the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all included. So, having said that, what do we need to know? Five things. Number one, we are not perfect. We are not perfect. Verse 12 begins, not that I have obtained this or am already perfect. Now, most of us, if not all, hear the phrase, we are not perfect, and you would respond, no kidding. Tell me something new, Pastor Dave. But to hear the Apostle Paul say it does get our attention. For here is a man whom God used to give us 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Here is a man that turned the Mediterranean area upside down for Christ, planting hundreds of churches all over that area. Here is a man that stood before kings and fearlessly declared the gospel, an amazing follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, I'm not perfect. I have not arrived yet. Now in Romans chapter 7, he says something that's even a little more personal. Just sit back and listen as I read what Paul writes, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." The Apostle Paul understands the power of sin even in the life of a believer. He knows of the presence of sin in his attitudes, in his thoughts, in his speech, in his actions, in his fears, in his failure to obey the clear commands given to us in the scriptures, sometimes deliberately, sometimes unknowingly. He knows all of that, and so do you and I. We know that although we have been forgiven of our sin debt before our Heavenly Father, and although confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're still tempted by the world, by the devil, still tempted by the sinfulness in our own bodies, and we fail. We sin. We're not perfect. And it should grieve us. It did the Apostle Paul. He was grieved at this. Dealing with our sin and sinfulness is part of the Christian journey. With God's help, we battle sin. Sometimes we conquer it. Sometimes we fight it all the way to our last breath. I remember hearing a story centuries ago regarding John Wesley. And he was asked, what spurred him on to continue to fight sin, to pursue what he called a life of holiness? His answer was good. He said, "I do that because of the constant awareness that my God is present in every moment of my life. He sees every action. He hears every word. He knows every thought. He perceives every attitude." And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we understand what Wesley is saying, it first of all is quite humbling, but secondly, it's a wonderful, powerful incentive to pursue a holy lifestyle. But it's not difficult for me to say, I'm not perfect. In fact, I don't really want that word perfect used in conjunction with my name. And I can say that with my wife sitting right here, and she'd agree 100%. He's a good guy, but he's not perfect. I hope she'd say that, but the Bible commands us pursue holiness. The Bible commands us, you therefore are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. But it's a lifelong journey and pursuit. We are not perfect. Hopefully, that's not hard for you to say. Number two, we keep running. We keep running. Again, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Battling my sin might tempt me to quit running the Christian race, to quit the Christian life altogether. After all, what's the use? I keep trying and I keep failing. It doesn't seem like I'm ever going to beat this thing. Paul's response to you would be, wrong attitude, wrong answer, wrong decision, wrong conclusion. Instead, in spite of being imperfect, despite failure, I press on, Paul says. Now, the verb to press on is a very expressive verb. And no matter how it is translated, it's also marked always with the idea of intensity. Intensity. To use a running analogy, the verb is not about a casual jog. It's not about a little walk in the park. It's about a passionate race, a passionate run. We see it translated on the pages of the New Testament to press on, to strive, to pursue, to run after. In certain contexts, it can even mean to persecute. So you can sense the power of this particular verb. Again, to use a runner's analogy, you might see a runner who is battling the pain of an old injury, but he presses on to end the race. You might see someone whose lungs are burning as he or she gasps for air, but doesn't stop, keeps on running. For the marathon runner who's already run 16 miles and yet knows there's 10 more to go, she keeps running, pressing on, striving, straining, running. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to state that's what the Apostle Paul has in mind as he speaks to you and me. When it comes to the Christian life, don't throw up your hands and quit. Press on. Keep going. Keep straining. Keep going. The author of Hebrews, after using a running analogy, encourages us, Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We run through the pain. We run through the agony. We run through the trials. We run through the struggle. Our eyes on Jesus. Jesus at the finish line. On him. We keep running. Number three, we forget what is behind. We forget what is behind. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. We forget what is behind. Now, as I heard this week on Focus many years ago now, I had the joy of being a long-distance runner. I absolutely loved it. In high school, we would race a 5K in dual meets. My favorite race was the mile. I absolutely loved it. Went to college, ran cross country. And as I think about this point, forgetting what is behind, an interesting memory comes back to me in my days as a distance runner. As a young runner, you most instinctively wonder what's going on behind you. You're running and you're out front, enjoying it, but you're wondering, what's happening back here? Who's behind me? And you'll have a tendency to look over your shoulder like that. Well, I soon learned that if I did that, I would get a loud and sharp rebuke from my coach that everybody on the racetrack could hear. And I can't yell it today. Dreyer, eyes forward, eyes forward. And especially he would say that if you're leading the race. Why? Because when you use the energy to look back, it can alter your pace. Secondly, you might get out of the middle of the lane where you're running. And thirdly, your mind is not on the race, it's on what's back there. And when you look back, you can't see the finish line. I remember my first intense lecture on the subject. The coach said, sat me down and looked right at me. And my coach was not a guy that you argued with. He was a starting fullback at Boston College. And he was a Marine, and that was my coach. And so I said, Dave, sit down. Yes, sir. And he said this. It was good advice. He said, Dave, when you're out front, never worry about the other runners. Just take care of your own business. Well, I think that's what Paul is trying to say here. Obviously, there's other reasons why Paul said what he did, but I think the rationale is quite similar. First, Paul has looked back in the verses prior to this on that great catalog of achievements and advantages in verse 5 and 6. Now, we talked about it the last 2 weeks, so I'm not going to read it again. You can remember it. All of those things listed in those verses, Paul was previously proud about. In fact, he could boast about those things. And then he met Jesus Christ, and all those things became losses. He even referred to them as rubbish. And so Paul tells us, I don't want to look back at that stuff. It's in the past. It's done. Has no value to me. But secondly, Paul has just admitted he was not perfect, not yet where he ought to be. But he's not going to look back on his previous failures. The previous times he let down his Lord, his disobedience, falling short. He has confessed this to the Lord. He's worked through some of the stuff. And he wasn't going to let his past failures determine his future serving Jesus. An important point there, folks. He wasn't going to let his past failures determine his future serving Jesus. In fact, he would say to us, I left that stuff with Jesus. Now I'm moving forward. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, today has enough trouble of its own. Don't complicate the journey by looking back. We forget what is behind. Number three, we strain forward. We strain forward. Again, verse 13. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, one of these things that I find fascinating, the verb to strain, it's only used this one time in the entire New Testament. In fact, it's never even found in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint. So Paul here is using a word led by the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit uses one time in all Scripture, and you and I are reading it this morning. All of that makes it very interesting. It literally means to stretch forth after something. To stretch forth after something. Kenneth Wiest, a Greek scholar, says the word actually came from the running track. It's a track term, which described The eye on the finish line directs the hand to reach forward as you run, which directs the feet. And he said, in that word, the eye tells the hand where to go, and the hand tells the foot where to go toward the finish line. I'm straining forward. Now, we can apply that to the Christian life, the Christian journey, in several ways. Let me suggest a few. We place our eyes, we strain forward in obedience to the Word of God, or for obedience to the Word of God. Our focus, our desire, our passion, our delight is to obey God's Word. So we look at the Word and we strain forward in obedience. We place our eyes on loving our Savior with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. We keep that always before us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I run toward it each day. We place our eyes on worshiping Jesus Christ every day, not just on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We place our eyes on loving others the way Jesus Christ loved us. We place our eyes on communing with God through prayer in the Holy Scriptures. We place our eyes on serving by following the example of Jesus Christ. You get the picture. You get the picture. All of those things won't just happen in your life. You can't wake up, get a breath, and say, well, it's all going to happen. No. I strain. I reach forward for these things. I'm forgetting yesterday and straining forward in the things that God has saved me to be and to do. Another way to look at it, living the Christian life according to the teaching of Jesus and the apostles becomes the most important thing in my life. It's what I give the most attention to, and I strain forward to both be and to do what God prescribes. Now, you might say to me, well, Pastor Dave, that seems like a lot of work. Yes, it is. But let me encourage you, with every habit, it gets easier if you focus on doing it every day. You know, you can develop a habit. It takes, I forget how many days to develop a habit, but something like 30 days to develop a habit. It takes about 3 days to kill a habit. Every day, straining forward after my Lord. Number five, we don't quit. We don't. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in the Message. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. No quitting. Now, why do I even have to say that? Because people do. Some people quit deliberately. Some people quit gradually when other things crowd out their journey with Jesus. John described some people this way, 1 John 2. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. The Apostle Paul describes one such man who at one time had worked with him, 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. In another letter, Paul describes two men who have made shipwreck of their faith. Every single church in the United States of America, around the world, had members who were once active and strong, but are now gone. And people ask, whatever happened to so-and-so? And oftentimes the answer is, oh, they're just out there doing their own thing. No longer doing, following after Jesus, just doing their own thing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, determine right now, you're not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. Is the race sometimes long? Yes, it is. Is the race sometimes tiring? Yes, it is. Is the race sometimes challenging? Yes, it is. Is the race sometimes painful? Yes, it is. Does the race sometimes seem lonely? Yes, it does. Is the race worthwhile? Absolutely. In fact, if I may be so bold, it is the only worthwhile race in this life, period. It's the only worthwhile race in this life, period. It's the only race whose finish line leads to something infinitely more glorious than anything you can experience in this world. And so we press on. We keep running with Jesus. We keep running for Jesus. We keep running toward the finish line and a place he has prepared for us. May you and I, everybody here this morning, everyone listening online, be able to say at the end with Paul, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. That's a verse, 2 Timothy 4:7. You ought to have on your mirror somewhere in your house every day. There's my goal. There's my goal. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. But I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to keep the faith. May it be so, the Pleasant Prairie Baptist Church, that's true. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the opportunity to be challenged by it. A challenge in many ways. Simple to understand. The Christian life is like a race. We can understand that. It's hard. It's not easy. We can't quit. We got to press on. We can understand that. But Lord, tomorrow we'll go back out into our world, and our world will not encourage us to be faithful. It'll not encourage us to press on. And so, Father, we have to determine today. And every morning that we wake up, today I got to press on. I got to press on for Jesus. I want people to see Jesus in my life. I want to finish the course well. So, Father, for all who are here on this, all who will listen, may simple passage from Philippians chapter 3 penetrate our hearts and motivate us to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ all the way to the end. And I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.